Robot or Not is supported by Hover. When you have a great idea, the first thing you need to do is get a domain for it. Now, we've told the people of Hover the topic of this episode and asked them for their verdict, and that is why you can get 10% off at hover.com with the promo code ROBOT.
Quite honestly, I wouldn't worry myself about that.
This is madness.
With pleasure, Michael.
Am I a robot or simply a machine? Okay, Star Trek the Motion Picture. Have you seen it?
Yeah, although it was a long time ago and it was super long, but I know about V'ger.
Accurate. Okay, so V'ger, which was Voyager 8 or something like that, goes away. It's a space probe sent into the far reaches of the universe, comes back having been upgraded by an unknown alien race, and it's super intelligent and it seeks to reach its creator. Super intelligent space probe kind of thing. So sort of like when we talked about Mars rovers and other things like that. This is an artificially intelligent space probe that it's got its own like big cloud and it flies around and it has lightning and it can like zap spaceships. So I have a question about V'ger as a robot, and then I have a question. What V'ger does is it basically takes the imprint of one of the Enterprise crew members, Ilea, and basically destroys her, but then builds a Ilea-shaped robot, question mark? I don't know, to communicate to the humans. So do we have robots in this scenario?
The V'ger, is, as far as I'm aware, is not a free-roaming consciousness, but is localized to the little what was once the space probe.
At the end of the movie, they go and there's the old Voyager thing, and Captain Kirk like wipes off the tarnished plaque that says it's Voyager, because apparently the aliens can read but can't clear off the tarnished stuff on the plaque.
The great vowel shortage. It's affecting America, affecting programmers on Earth and also aliens who find space probes.
Yeah, so in that, obviously, at least some of its brain is there. And although it does seem to have this whole kind of like, it can move because it's that and the little cloud that surrounds it can fly across the universe. But yeah, it's sort of more spaceshipy than anthropomorphic in the sense that it doesn't have like arms that reach out or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that even though it's a weird kind of body, if you count all of the associated machinery and cloud and lightning zappers and all that stuff, like, I feel like V'ger thinks that that is it. And even though it is weirdly shaped and very large, it does stuff. It's going to go across the universe to do things. I don't think anyone is controlling it.
No, definitely not.
And I think there's some association with, I mean, why else keep around the little original capsule? So I think that entire contraption mechanism conglomeration of stuff is V'ger. And I think if you were to ask V'ger and you said, we're going to take this whole big conglomeration cloud or whatever and encase it in a giant sphere and then make that sphere smaller until you are crushed into a tiny little size, V'ger would say, don't do that because you'll kill me. V'ger wouldn't be like, no biggie, that's just my little vehicle, that's just my ride, give me a second so I can leave and I'll go over there. Okay, now you can crush it.
By the way, the story you've just described is more interesting than Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Point that out. Big spheres in space are always fun.
Mm-hmm. What about Lieutenant Ilea? So the idea here is she gets copied. They don't understand. They view our carbon units essentially as an infestation. They don't understand or V'ger doesn't understand that it's intelligent. But then they sort of reconstitute her, but it's not her. It's something that looks like her, but when they zoom in, it's basically fine machinery. And it sounds like it's not the Ilea on the bridge is not V'ger. It's more like an emissary of V'ger. So is she a robot in the form of she's a Delton. She's not a human. Star Trek nerd here. Robot in the form of a living creature sent by another robot to talk to humans. Would you say that that is what she is?
The problem with a lot of media created by humans involving things that may or may not be robots is that for budgetary reasons, the best thing, the easiest thing you can do is have your quote-unquote robots look exactly like humans, right? Because you just want to, can we just get an actor? It's really easy. Just put a little bit of makeup on them, tell them to walk or talk a little bit more stiffly, and there's your robot.
I am a robot.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they tend not to delve into the details, so you're left to wonder, like, when this thing returns back in the bridge, are people like, wow, look at that, it's a human acting really weirdly? Or are they... look kind of like a human, but if you look closer, you can tell the same way you could if you got really up close in a wax museum. Oh, that's not actually a person. Now when I'm 2 inches away, I can see this is totally not a human at all, but it's a sculpture. From a distance, it might look like a human, but when I get close and, like, you know, look under the eyelids or, you know, on the inside of their lips or see what the heck is going on in their mouth or see that they're not breathing or respiring or sweating or, like, that they're not really a living thing, this is a robot. So, but they don't go into those details. So in the show, when she comes back, does anyone, like, recognize her as not being a human being anymore?
Yes, they all I think realize she doesn't behave like a human at all. She's a living being, a human.
But not just from behavior, but, like, looking around, it's like, oh, it's like an animatronic doll. You know, like, is there living skin there? Is there breathing? Mm. Is there blood pumping?
I think there's a thing that zooms in like an animation and shows that at the microscopic level, it's all machinery made to look like a living creature.
Mm, that's dubious too. Like, what are you, nanomachines that also look human? I don't think you can arrange nanomachines to look human, because it's not as if you can make a nanomachine that is smaller than the constituent atoms that make up the molecules that make up the cells in our bodies. Like, the machine, by definition, has to be made up of a bunch of small pieces that fit together. And I just don't think you'll get the same properties or, you know, as human skin alone. So it seems like it has to, at the very least, be a cyborg if we are to believe what is before our eyes. That I don't think you could make, like, it's not like people look at it and go, that's clearly rubber skin, or that's clearly living skin draped over, you know. Like, I think it has to at the very least be a cyborg, because I don't see any believable mythology in which it can be visually indistinguishable from a human, because of course it is, you know, it's an actor on stage, and the things that set off people's radar is not that it looks different, not that it looks like, you know, some kind of rubber mask, but that, you know, it walks and talks differently, that this is not the person I knew. But is it a person at all? I think I have to go cyborg with this. I may be missing some information here, but I really don't buy the idea that there is no living tissue in this thing that looks for all the world like an actual living human actor, because that's what it is.
So if you can build machines that sweat and emit pheromones, at that point you're going to just say, okay, I can't even call that.
I don't think you do it for the sort. Like, can you make a material that looks and acts like human skin out of machines? I don't think you can. Like I said, because the things that give human skin its properties are the various, you know, molecules. You know, atoms are combined into molecules. The molecules form cells. Those cells connect together in a certain way and communicate with each other through their cell membranes. And all of that stuff that defines the surface, so that when the light hits it, and the stuff underneath it and the blood coursing through it and all that, like, that's what makes skin look like skin. Skin that does not have blood circulating through it will not look like skin. Skin not made of skin cells will not look like skin. From a distance, maybe, but up close, it won't, like the wax museum, right? So you can't make skin out of a series of machines unless you've somehow found a way to make particles that are so much smaller than the smallest subatomic particle that we know, that you can actually assemble machines out of things made 1/1,000,000,000th the size of a quark or whatever. I don't know what the smallest particle we know about is now. Like, I just don't think that is feasible in a, not that Star Trek is hard sci-fi, but it's not fantasy either. So I have to go cyborg or just plain human. I don't know about the whole, I don't remember the zoom in.
I think V'ger is just that good, but we'll, you know,
there's no such thing as just that good. Like, you have to,
no,
it's
V'ger's
like,
that
it's like going faster.
V'ger,
than,
V'ger has amazing materials that look just like skin that it makes.
Well, I think there's nothing to look just like skin except for actual skin. Like, you have to make it out of the same stuff basically. Or if everyone on Earth were cyborgs, you could just hack their eyeballs, Ghost in the Shell style, and then you're all set.
All right. All right, V'ger's a robot. Ilea, probably not.
No, cyborg, probably.
Okay, good.
Robot or not.